Lord, we thank you for this time of respite, this time of Sabbath rest, to be able to come and be in your presence. In the midst of all there is to do during a worship service, all of that is pointless if we fail to hear your voice and if we fail to actually worship you. And so, Lord, now quiet our hearts. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. I really love this story of Mary and Martha. I think it's one of the things in Scripture that we perhaps can fairly easily identify. Everybody goes through a process in their home of preparing the house for company. And this type of preparation sometimes can cause so much marital strife that I will often cover it when I do premarital counseling with a couple. And it gives an eye view into how each person will react and respond to stressors in their lives. And then you can have a conversation from there. So let me tell you a little bit about my home. Since my wife is not here to defend herself, this will be easy. No, I'll be nice. So let's just say there's guests coming on Tuesday. All right. The pre-cleaning starts on Friday before. Okay. And there's usually a panic of, there's people coming on Tuesday. Oh no, the house is a wreck. What am I going to do? So we run around the house, we pick everything up off the floor, and with four kids, we try. Mm-hmm. However, it doesn't take long for things to become out of whack. And so, the cat box gets cleaned just in case guests happen to go into the pantry. And everybody vacuums like wild things, and the cats all hide because they're terrified of the vacuum. And I wish I could hide too, but I can't. And then from Friday till Tuesday, there's a little cleaning panic every day. There's something else that's noticed, And sometimes I'll see something and go, oh, I can't do that. I have to clean that. Sometimes my wife will see something and say, oh, look at the strainer in the sink. The guests are going to inspect that, So then the Tuesday morning clean. Okay. This is the one you want to have a reason for a trip to the emergency room to get you out of the house for, okay? After those days, the house does get a little messy, the six people living in it, and 3 hours before a company is supposed to arrive, martial law is declared. There's a state of emergency imposed, and any extraneous debris is hauled off and put away somewhere. All this so we can relax for a couple of hours with a couple of friends. Just friends that we're supposedly comfortable with, right? Can you imagine the carnage that would ensue if Jesus himself were coming to the house? I mean, come on. The image of the invisible God, Jesus, the firstborn of all creation, the one who knew all things in heaven and earth were created through, the one who holds all things together, that guy. The head of the church, the body, the firstborn and the dead, right? The one in whom the fullness of God is pleased to dwell. Through him, God reconciled us all, right? That guy, the one who made peace with all things through his blood on the cross, him, yeah. Coming to our house. We would be whipping around, trying to make our lives seem more orderly. We'd be stuffing the mess in cupboards. How many junk drawers do you have in your kitchen? I had five till we started to move, okay? An awful lot can fit under a bed if you shove it in there hard enough. Just ask Harris. And then there's the vacuuming of the tops of the couch cushions. Pray that no one lifts them up and finds the french fries, the popcorn, and pennies under there. Okay? Martha probably panicked. Can you imagine, right, when Jesus was coming? She, like a lot of us, probably wants everything to look right. Wants everything to be perfect. She might have been trying to create a little bit of an artificial reality in her house and show that she had it all together, right? Maybe a little rose-colored view on her life for Jesus, the creator of the universe that was coming from there. And she was trying to do this quick clean at the last minute to make sure everything looked perfect. And she wouldn't just stop and rest and be with Jesus. She had to run around. I think perhaps there's a little bit of Martha in all of us. In some of us, there's a lot of Martha in us. We want to have everything look right and run around and make sure everything's good for our own peace of mind. You know? And then there's Mary. She's the one who made the choice that we all wish we would make, but probably wouldn't. And she chose to go sit at Jesus' feet and just listen to him. You know, forget about the dishes. Who cares about that? You know, Jesus is here, the firstborn of all creation, the creator of the universe. I'm going to sit and listen to this guy. The dishes can wait. And, you know, that probably angered Martha. We see in the scriptural account, you know, that Martha pretty much said, "Come on, Mary. Jesus, you're enabling her to do this? There's stuff to be done." But Mary knew that it was important to take time to have a longer-term relationship with Jesus. She wasn't worried about the way things necessarily looked on the outside. She was probably more worried about the way she looked on the inside and knew that she needed to have that time with Jesus in order to get the inside of her personal house cleaned up. So our culture now, as you know, is increasingly interested in everything we want it yesterday. We want an overnight delivery from Amazon Prime for an extra $3.99, right? Forget about, you know, what kind of extra jet fuel that takes to get that basket of trinkets to our house overnight. You know, we want instant gratification. So, I don't know how many of you have a garden, but this is the time of year where goldenrod and ragweed take over. Or they try, at least. It's awful, alright? And it takes time to pull weeds. It's not something you can just go out and do in 20 minutes and have your garden looking beautiful and have it looking amazing. It takes a lot of time, and it's a lot of work. And pulling some weeds actually hurts. You ever grab onto metal by accident? Yeah. So we don't really want to pull weeds in our lives anymore because it takes time. You know, in our yards or in our lives of faith. We want to just have the instant gratification of coming to worship on Sunday and feel good and go home. Because it's easier that way than pulling out the junk drawers and looking in and seeing what's there or pulling out the ragweed in our lives. We want to spray some Roundup on it, right? You ever use that? It's pretty good stuff. So we hate slow. We don't like to wait for things. We don't like to have things slowly season and slowly develop in our lives. You ever see all the advertisements on TV? Rock hard abs in a 5-minute workout. Anybody who's ever done any kind of workout knows that you don't get rock hard abs with a 5-minute workout once a day, okay? This political season, they want to have decades of racism eliminated in a 4-year presidential cycle. Our surgery recoveries are getting quicker and quicker, right? They want a laparoscopic in-out. There's a Band-Aid over the hole, and that's it. Back to work the next day. And we kind of want our faith to match up with that. We want a book that's going to fix everything in our faith. We want to go to a conference, maybe for a Saturday or a Sunday, if we can carve out that much time in our busy lives. Or maybe we want a nice, neat sermon series that encapsulates everything you need to know to have a happy life. Anything. Just not a lifetime of obedience. Eugene Peterson wrote a book called Long Obedience in the Same Direction. I don't know if any of you have read it. But in there, he says, there is a great market for religious experience in our world. There is little enthusiasm for the patient acquisition of virtue, little inclination to sign up for a long apprenticeship in what earlier generations of Christians called holiness. We just want it now. When Jesus talked a lot about weeds, he used them in his parables and things like that. And you can probably think of a few parables where he talked about weeds and how they kind of grow up amongst the desire plants as well. He talked about how they suck the life out of the real plants that you wanted and how they grow up really fast. Now, the weeds in the Bible are the metaphors for anything that draws our attention away from God. So have you checked around in your garden? In your garden at home and in your garden of faith, the weeds that shoot up and grow up, their roots spread, 6 feet over here and pop up where you least expect them to come. You rip out one weed here and it seems like two more grow up over here. And if you pull just the top off of them or try to weed whack them down to ground level, it seems like that encourages them. And they just come back even more. So weeding takes time. And the more effort you put into it, the greater the results in the long run. But we don't really like long runs anymore. I admit it, I'm the same way. If I can't start a project at dawn and finish it by dusk, I don't want to do it. Because I want to accomplish something and be done with it. So we're called to tend our garden, the garden of our soul. We're called to look for the things that don't belong in God's vineyard. Hate, anger, lust, pride, sin, there's a whole list of them. And we also really have to get to the root of the issue. We can't just run around and clean up the things that are seen, like Martha was sort of doing. We've got to sit at Jesus' feet and allow his teaching to root out these things in our lives so we'll finally and forever be free of them. This is a daily process. It's a lifelong process. And we need to sort of weed our souls, ourselves, daily. And we weed through prayer. We weed through reading the scripture. We weed through time with other believers. Iron sharpens iron. We need to ask God to show us where these weeds are hiding in our lives. So, to continue the metaphor, don't settle for spiritual roundup. Or a landscaper. The pastor is not a landscaper. Just look at my yard. We'll see. So, you have to get down on your knees and pull these weeds. So we only get to live this life once. It's painfully obvious to many of us. So I want to encourage you, take time to sit at Jesus' feet. Forget about the dishes. Forget about the junk drawers and the popcorn under the couch cushions. Sit at Jesus' feet. Just start with 5 minutes a day, right? It seems like a really short amount of time, but if I asked us to sit in church right now for 5 whole minutes in silence, it would seem like an uncomfortable eternity. So take the first minute of your time and thank God for all the ways he's working in your life, the things that you know to be blessings in your life. Take the next minute to say that you're sorry to God for the times you try to go your own way and not his. And take a third minute and ask him to bless your day and to lead you in the steps that he would have you to walk that day. And then take the last 2 minutes and place yourself at Jesus' feet and simply listen. Listen for his voice. In the name of Christ.